Good. Let's go.
First of all, let me say welcome to the fourth year. I would like to get to know you better if I don't know you already. I like to see my role in this fourth year Lachem Ma'aseh program, not only to try and help you get through the fourth year Lachem Ma'aseh program, but the fourth year is often a tumultuous year. So if I could help you with anything else that has to do with your fourth year experience, me along with everybody, all the talented staff we have here, but if I could be of any help to you during this period of time, I'd be happy to help in any way that I can. One of the customs that I tried to carry on in the fourth year Lachem Ma'aseh program from Rabbi Bleich, really, is to mention some svarim that are helpful in your limud of Hilchos Erevin now, and not only now, but for your future in the Rabbonis, whatever role you take. So you should have the proper svarim in your library, so you should know how to navigate the areas which we cover here in the fourth year Lachem Ma'aseh program. So some Sifrei Ezer for Hilchos Erevin in English is, maybe I should give this out at the beginning, is Rabbi Jachter has in the Gray Matter, one of the volumes of the Gray Matter, has a little kuntras about Hilchos Erevin, which is a lot of, in English, which is helpful, which is a lot of the practical issues that come up in contemporary Erevin. And similarly, there's a Rabbi Gabriel Bechafer, who's a Rebbe in MTA, has a nice kuntras in English, a contemporary, I forgot the exact title. And Rabbi Eider also has a pamphlet on Hilchos Erevin, which addresses a lot of the common issues which come up. In Hebrew, though, there is an Esiva Shabbos, which is a kind of must-have, which is more of all the issues that have to do with Erevin. It's a comprehensive work, as opposed to just dealing with the contemporary issues that come up. That's an extremely helpful reference. In terms of this Chazaras here, for each section, the Chazaras that I do are a little bit different. In some sections, it's more focused on the Shiurim. In some sections, it's more focused on the material that I ask you to cover on your own. In Erevin, it's mostly focused on the Mishnah Berurah, because Rav Shechter assumes a lot in his Shiurim. He assumes that you know what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and he picks up from there. So we're going to go over some of the highlights that appear here in the Shulchan Aruch. Anything which is added here, and this is to your benefit, and again I say every year I could discuss with you in private why it's to your benefit, but it's clearly to your benefit. Anything that's mentioned here in the Chazar Shir is on the Bechina, even if it's not on the page of the Mishnah Berurah and it wasn't mentioned by Rav Shechter. A lot of times it's rounding out a psak, like Rav Shechter has a unique unique positions in Hilchos Erevin. So I try and, obviously that's the psak that we come out with here in the fourth year, but in terms of your own edification, you should be aware of what is the sometimes famous position of other poskim, halacha l'maisa. And sometimes Rav Shechter doesn't mention everything every year, so I try and round out with some of the things that, either for time or whatever, just happen to not have been mentioned this year. Finally, one more introductory point, which is not so much introductory, is that there are two basic, and this is just more in terms of perspective, there are two mahalkim that are taken by the poskim when it comes to building Erevin in communities. Want to ask that? Some are very pro-building Erevin, and some are extremely against it. And I think that it's important to understand where they come from, because both of these positions have their place. The Gemara says in Maseches Erevin on Samach Zayin Mabez, and this is quoted by Rav Shechter in the beginning of the RJJ article, which is in the packets. The Gemara says in Erevin on Samach Zayin Mabez that there was a certain bris milah, and the minig was at that time, in the times of the Gemara, that they would wash the baby in hot water before and after the milah as an antiseptic to kill germs. So one occasion the water spilled, and they needed to bring water the water before the bris. The water after the bris is pikuach nefesh, but the water before the bris they wanted to bring from another place. So Rabba, who was the Rebbe of Abaye, Rabba was one who was officiating at the bris, so he said to Abaye, the bris happened to be in Abaye's town, so he says to Abaye, go get water from the next house over. So Abaye says, I can't, because there's no Erev in this town. So Rabbi looks at Abaye, there's no Erev in the town, and then they go on, and the Gemara figures out a different way to get the water from the other house into where the bris was. So the Mordechai there, and that Gemara says that you see from Rabbi's astonishment that Abaye didn't have an Erev, that the town which has a rav should have an eruv. It's an obligation on the rav of the town to build an eruv. And the Tshuvas HaRosh, this is echoed by the Tshuvas HaRosh, who kind of emphasizes this in the face of someone who didn't want to build an Eruv in a certain town for whatever reason. So the Rosh says, what are you talking about? We have to build an Eruv. It's a mitzvah on the Rav of the town to build an Eruv. At the same time, the Mishnah says earlier in Masechus Eruv, in the Mishnah which was mentioned by Rosh Shechta, that an ear shel Rabin, if you have an ear which is all, the whole thing is a Rishus HaRabin, that becomes a Rishus HaYochid, Shanasa Shel Yochid. So the Mishnah says, "Ein ma'arvin is cool. You're not allowed to make an eruv in the whole thing. Shema tishtakach toras eruv, toras hotzah. Because if you make an eruv in the whole town, people will think that you can make an eruv in Rishus HaRabim, and the whole Ezer of hotzah will be forgotten about. So the Mishnah says you have to leave a certain part of the city outside of the eruv. So everybody knows we can carry here, but we cannot carry there, because there's an Ezer of hotzah in Shabbos. Many people who have lived their whole life in suburbs and never, you know, even a lot of boys who come to YU for the first time are amazed that there's an area, well now, Baruch Hashem, there is an area, but it used to be that there was no, you couldn't carry outside your room key, and it would be a major culture shock for many people. So that is exactly what the Mishnah is talking about. Shema Tishtak of Torah Sotza, the Yisrael Sotza will be forgotten about. So if you look at it, the other side of the Heights, I don't know, it's kind of up in the air still a little bit, but the other side of the Heights was famous for not having an Eruv. The Breuer's community was against it. So the reason they're against it is because if you look at Rabbi Schwab's Sefer, Rabbi Schwab is a Sefer on Ala Torah called Mind Beis HaShoeva. So in Rabbi Schwab's Sefer in Parshas Vayakel, he asked a question on something that happened just recently. The Gemara says that if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos or if Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar, we don't take lulav. Shema, why? Because maybe you'll take your lulav and your shofar, Bereshus HaRabim, to a bucky to learn how to take the lulav or to learn how to blow the shofar. Shema yavirenu da'odamis Bereshus HaRabim. And you'll be over on the Isser of Hotzah. Shabbos Schwab asked, but it's such a far-fetched chashash. How often does that happen? First of all, it has to be in an area where there's no Eruv. And how often does this really happen, that we make all of Klal Yisrael, nobody blows shofar because of one guy who makes a mistake? We should all not blow shofar and all not take lulav? So he says, you see how far Chazal went to make a siyug around the Yisrael of Hotzah. It's a very heavy topic, he says. You see how Chazal treated it. So Meshwab says we should not be so cavalier in making Erevin. Erevin should not be commonplace in all of our communities. That we have to really think about the ramifications or the consequences of us building an Erevin. For Moshe, others have similar type of ideas in their Tshuvas as well. But anyway, what I want to point out is that both of these, attitudes towards Arabin. Some feel that it's a mitzvah on the rub of the town, and some feel that we have to be a little bit more careful about when we build Arabin. Both have their place, and it's important to be sensitive to both of these attitudes. Of course, at least midrabanan, there are four reshuyos b'Shabbos. That's how the Shulchan Aruch starts out in Simin Shin Mem Hey. Arba reshuyos b'Shabbos is reshus hayochid, reshus harabim, a karmelis, and a makom p'tur. Midoraisa, how many reshuyos are there? Says so the reshus hayochid is a reshus midoraisa, and reshus harabim is a reshus midoraisa. There's at least two. Karmelis is only midrabanan. Does not exist midoraisa. And even Makom Ptur is somewhat of a question. Rabbi Nachum Zemba has a sefer on the Isser of Hotzah called Hotzah Shabbos. Hotzah Schayim. Sorry. So in his sefer, Hotzah Schayim, he wonders, and it'll be a recurring theme, if you pay attention, as we learn through the Mishnah Berurah, about what is the status of a Makom Ptur? Is a Makom Ptur a Rishus? Is that the third Rishus Midoraisa? Or is a Makom Ptur just a lack of any other definition? It's just nothing. The E Rishus, if you want to call it that. It's not Rishus HaYachid, it's not Rishus HaRabim, it's just neither. But it has no specifications unto its own. That's an important thing to be sensitive to as we learn through the halavas.
What's the Nafkamina?
We'll see. A few. Just telling you, I'm foreshadowing. What is a Karmelis? A Karmelis is Midaraisa generally. A Karmelis is... Biblically, it was Makom Ptur, and they took it and they prohibited you from carrying from there into a Rishus HaYochid. Even though Midaraisa speaking is prohibited only to carry from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim or vice versa, it's permissible to carry from Rishus HaYochid into a Makom Tur into Rishus HaRabim or whatever. Either way, Midarabanan, they said whenever it's a Carmelis, you're not allowed to carry from there into Rishus HaYochid, and it has the status of Rishus HaRabim that you cannot walk Daud Amos in a Carmelis. Just like a Rishus HaRabim. What is a Carmelis? So if you look throughout the Shulchan Aruch here in Simin Shin Mem Hei, you can piece together the basic rule. The basic rule is here in Sif Yud. The basic rule is that it's any Makom Ptur which has a Shir Makom. It's a Makom Ptur which is Daud al Daud. What do I mean it's a Makom Ptur? So the Shulchan Aruch says if it's more than, if you have an item in Rishus HaRabim, or the Rishus, right, you have a permanent item in Rishus HaRabim, which is more than three Tvachim tall. If it's less than three Tvachim tall, it's batal to the Rishus HaRabim. It's a nothing. People walk on it just like they walk in Rishus HaRabim. But if it's three Tvachim tall or more, so it's not batal, it's not negligible within the Rishus HaRabim, and it has its own status. Midoraisa would be a Makom Ptur, because people don't walk there. Certainly not Rishus HaYafid, because it has no walls. It's not Daud al Daud. So if it's Daud al Daud, let's say this three tefach protrusion in the Rishus HaRabim is Daud al Daud. So it has no walls, it's not a Rishus HaYochid. People don't walk there because it's more than three tefachim off the ground, so it's not a Rishus HaRabim. That's a Makom Ptur Midaraisa, but since it's 4x4 tefachim wide, they converted that into a Carmelis. That's the basic rule. Or the similarly, Guma, if you have a ditch in Rishus HaRabim, that's more than three Tvachim deep. So again, the people of the Rishus HaRabim don't walk there. So it'd have to, again, the same rule, that if it's 4x4 Tvachim wide, it's a Carmelis. If it's less than 4x4 Tvachim wide, it would be a Makom Ptur. There is a unique aspect of this halacha, which is that if it is nine Tvachim tall, then it becomes, again, to be a Rishus HaRabim, because people adjust their packages on this amud. Let's say I have a pillar in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, so people don't jump on the pillar. But nonetheless, since the people of the Rishus HaRabim use it to adjust their packages, their backpacks or whatever, it's mishamesh to b'nei Rishus HaRabim, so it comes, it returns to be part of the Rishus HaRabim. If it don't be four tefachim tall, it's too short for people to adjust their packages. One is nine tefachim tall.
I thought that was Rishus.
People who use it to adjust their packages, it becomes Rishus HaRabim.
It becomes Rishus
HaRabim. If it's more than 10 Tvachim tall, then already it's a Makom Ptur. But if it's 9, it's too, look here in the details here in Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud, 9 to 10 is somewhat of a discussion. But certainly 9 Tvachim tall becomes, reverts to being part of the Rishus HaRabim. So the Mishnah Berurah here in Sifkat and Lamed Gimel, with the Sharatzian and Sifkat and Lamed Vav, quotes two opinions between the Rambam and the Ravid whether people actually have to adjust their packages. Let's say there'd be a pillar here, but nobody thought of the fact, hey, we could adjust our backpacks on this pillar. Nobody uses it. So does it still become part of the Rishus HaRabim? Or do people actually have to actively use it? That's two opinions here in the Mishnah Berurah. But otherwise, that's the basic halacha. Do you want to ask something?
I remembered it differently, but that was from like 4 years ago when I learned this. Okay. So you're saying that it's something that's not 12 and 12.
Is it Rishus HaRabim? If it's in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, yeah, and it's a protrusion, 9 Tvachim tall, even
and
though it's 4
it's
by...
Daud al Daud.
No, if it's less than Daud al Daud, it's certainly a Makom Ptur. It's more than Daud al Daud. Oh no, that's also a discussion. You're right. No, even if it's less than Daud al Daud. That's a Machlokas. Here in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Lamed Daud, says even if it's less than Daud al Daud, and in the Sharatzian he points out that that's a machlokas of Rishon, also between the Rambam and the Ravid. If it's even less than Daud al Daud, or it has to be Daud al Daud wide. Yeah.
And if it's more than 10 tefachim, then it becomes a Makom Ptur, even if it's bigger.
No, if it's more than 10 tefachim and it's 4x4 wide, it's Rishus HaYochid. Well, that's the tail we'll talk about. If it's less than 10, if it's less than 4x4 wide, then it's a Makom Ptur. Sorry if that was confusing. So what's the easy example of a Makom Ptur would be a fire hydrant or a parking meter, which is fire hydrant is less than 4 by 4 tefachim wide and it protrudes in the middle of the Shusha Rabim, nobody really uses it for anything. So that would be a makom tur. The top of a parking meter also. Since it's less than dalet al dalet, it doesn't have a sheer makom. That would be your classic makom tur.
Even though it's taller than 10 tefachim.
Yeah, but it's not 4 by 4 wide. Right. So if it's more than taller than 10 tefachim, but it's not 4 by 4 wide, it can't be Rishus HaYochid, it's not 4 by 4 wide. Can't be a caramelist, it's not 4 by 4, it's not a Rishus HaRam because nobody jumps on it. So it would be makom tur.
If there was something that was less than 9 tefachim tall, but it happens to be that the Rabbim used it for something, would that still be nichlal in that clear, or no, it's exclusive to 9 tefachim?
I don't know.
Fine hydrants you used to read dialects.
Okay.
But that's not what's up.
I don't know. So we're going to go through the Rishuyos, I guess one by one, kind of, throughout Simen Shin Mem Hei and the relating Simonim, and try and point out a few of the unique properties of these Rishuyos. First Rishus that is addressed by the Shulchan Aruch is Rishus HaYochid. What is a Rishus HaYochid? That's a Rishus that has walls that are 10 tefachim tall, and we'll get back to walls at the end, because we're going to have a more protracted discussion of walls. Which is just in terms of the Rishuyos, Rishus HaYochid is something that has walls that are 10 tefachim tall, and it's 4 by 4 tefachim wide. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, and Sivka and Gimel is an interesting discussion. Do the walls of the Rishus HaYochid count to your shear of 4 by 4 tefachim wide, or do I need the airspace of the Rishus HaYochid to be 4 by 4 tefachim wide? It's my focus, Rishonim. The Mishnah Berurah comes to a compromise opinion in the name of the Rashba that if the walls can hold up a roof, meaning if I have
like this, and it's only 4 by 4 tefachim wide from here to here, that's 4 by 4, but this is less than 4 by 4, so if I say the walls are a little more wide, so between here and here is 4 by 4 tefachim wide, and these, so only, you need the walls in order to complete the shear 4x4. Is that considered Rishus HaYochid or not? So the Rashba says if these walls are strong enough, sturdy enough to support something on top, so then it would have the status of Rishus HaYochid. Because since on top over here is Rishus HaYochid, because you have walls that are 10 tefachim tall and it's 4x4 wide on top, and maybe even underneath. That's what the Mishnah Berurah discusses. Even underneath, perhaps, you could have the status of Rishus HaYochid. So that's your basic definition of Rishus HaYochid. Mechitza is 10 tefachim tall and it's 4 by 4 wide. But Rishus HaYochid has many unique properties which do not exist by the other Rishuyos. And if you collect all of them, you come out with four unique properties of Rishus HaYochid. The first unique property of Rishus HaYochid is what's quoted here in the Ramah all the way at the end of Simen Shin Mem Hei. What he calls bittul rishus. Even though I have a fire hydrant in the middle of a Rishus HaRabim, so the fire hydrant has the status of a makom tur. What if I have a fire hydrant in my backyard? So is that a makom tur? And my backyard, let's assume, is fenced in, it's a Rishus HaYochid. So does the fire hydrant also have the status of a makom tur? So the Ramah says no. You cannot have any other rishus inside of a Rishus HaYochid. It becomes included in Rishus HaYochid. The Rishus HaYochid is kind of full. It includes everything inside of it. So protrusion in the middle of Rishus HaYochid is also Rishus HaYochid. As opposed to Rishus HaRabim, more common is where a fire hydrant would have the status of Makom Tur. The second unique property of Rishus HaYochid is as quoted here in the Shulchan Aruch Sivav, that a Kli can be considered a Rishus HaYochid. If you have a Teva, or a big box, let's say have a big refrigerator box, outside on the curb, and it's 4x4 tefachim wide and it's 10 tefachim tall, that would have the status of a Rishus HaYochid. However, if I have kelim in Rishus HaRabim, kelim cannot be a Rishus HaRabim. Where is that? It's quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah, Sukkot Tezayin.
Mishnah Berurah says, let's say I have a kli inside of a Rishus HaRabim. So the B'nai Rishus HaRabim don't jump on the kli. So what should, let's say, I have a refrigerator box in the middle of Times Square. So the B'nai Rishus HaRabim don't jump on the refrigerator box. Assume they don't use it to fix their packages. So what should it be? Let's say it's 4x4, the same refrigerator box, just it's not 10 tefachim tall. It's 8 tefachim tall. It's 4x4 wide. So what should it be? It should be a karmelis. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Rishonim that we don't, that whoever rule that ain't karmelis bekelim. A kli cannot be a karmelis. Even though a kli can be a rishus hayochid, it cannot be a karmelis. Certainly can't be a rishus harabim, because people don't walk on kelim. But it cannot be karmelis either.
People, when it comes to Tum and Torah, then walking, as soon as you talk about walking on kelim, then sitting on kelim and all those other things like Tumas Majlis.
I'm not talking about Tum and Torah. Why is there in karmelis bekelim? So the Rishonim explain because they were never gozer the Easter of karmelis unless it's something that's cholek rishus la'atzmo. It itself is something that's significant, that is worthy of chazal being gozer the Easter of karmelis. A kli is something that's like, it's kind of flimsy, it's neither here nor there. So chazal didn't see it fit to be gozer the Easter of karmelis on a kli. So let's say I have my refrigerator box in the middle of Times Square. It's 8 tefachim tall and it's 4x4 wide. So what is it? It's not a karmel, it's ain't karmel, it's bekelim. It's not a rishus hayachid, it's not 10 tefachim tall. So what is it? So the Mishnah Berurah says, well then it's a rishus harabim. It's bata l'gabi ha-rishus shehu omeid bo. The name of the Magen Avraham. So it becomes a rishus harabim. However, in the Shaar HaTzion, he quotes from Shaar HaTzion, Sukkot and Tezvav, quote them the other Acharonim who disagree with the Magen Avraham and say, nobody told me it should be a Makom Ptur. If it's 8 Tfachim tall, the B'nai Rishus HaRabim are not going to use it. So it's 4x4 Tfachim wide. So even though generally that should have been a Karmus, Chazal, when it goes to the Easter of Karmus on Kalim, because it's not Cholek Rishus La'atzmo, it's not a significant type of Rishus. So what should it be? It should come back to be the old Makom Ptur. So we look at the end of the Shaar HaTzion, he later quotes a Meiri. The gam makom ptur lo shayach bekelim. He can't have a makom ptur either with kelim. So this seems to be my focus that we've shown him. Rashi seems to apply. Can be. You look at the Bishar Tzi and you work it out. The Meiri seems to say that makom ptur is also not shayach bekelim. So it's machlokas, I guess halacha lemaisa, whether you have it when you have a refrigerator box in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, let's say Times Square, and it's 8 tefachim tall. It's not Rosh Hashanah. Say Tfachim Tov, 4x4 wide, would that have the status of a Makom Ptur? Would that have the status of Rishus HaRabim? Because it cannot be a Makom, it should be a Makom Ptur. But maybe it cannot be because they were never, because there's no such concept of a Makom Ptur B'Kelim. Why should there be no concept of a Makom Ptur B'Kelim? So again, I'll suggest that this is based on the principle that we mentioned before. If Makom Ptur is its own Rishus, then presumably it has its own specifications, just like a Karmelis does. And if kelim are not a significant type of rishus for karmelis, maybe it's also not a significant type area for a makom ptur. Makom ptur also has its standards, and we can't have a makom ptur and a kli. But if makom ptur is just whatever can't be anything else, well, this box can't be anything else. It's not a rishus harabim. Nobody jumps on it. It's not a rishus hayach. It's not a tenth makom ptur. It's not a karmelis. Ain't karmelis for kelim. So a makom ptur would just be the e rishus. Whatever can't be anything else. Okay, so let it be a makom ptur. That's the first opinion in the Shaar HaTzion. Second opinion in the Shaar HaTzion is that a Makom Ptur is also a Rishus, has specifications, and this is below the threshold of even a Makom Ptur. What's a unique thing over here, it's kind of, collectors, it's important to note, is that you can have a Makom Ptur, according to one opinion in the Shaar HaTzion, you can have a Makom Ptur which is bigger than Dawud al Dawud. That doesn't often happen. According to one opinion in the Shaar HaTzion, this refrigerator box is a Makom Ptur which is bigger than Dawud al Dawud. It's a good test question. When is there a Makom Ptur that's bigger than Dawud al Dawud?
Rabbi?
Yes.
So then when would you have the kli that is a rishus hayachid?
If it's 4x4 wide and 10 tefachim tall.
And it's in what?
A rishus harabim. If it's 10 tefachim tall. We're talking about a box that's not 10 tefachim tall.
Okay.
So that's the second unique property which exists by rishus hayachid, which that exists even b'kelim. Third unique property of Rishus HaYachid is the halacha of Chorei Rishus HaYachid. This halacha quoted here in Siv Dalad. Chorim shebek Pasle, Rishus HaYachid, the holes in the walls of Rishus HaYachid also have the status of a Rishus HaYachid. However, if you look in the Ramah, right there, the Ramah says that's only by Rishus HaYachid. If it's in a Rishus HaRabim, and the same will be true for a Carmelis, there's no halach of Chorin. Rather, what is it? It's Nidon Lefi Gavon V'Rachban. What does the Ramah mean, Nidon Lefi Gavon V'Rachban? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkai Nidalef, he says, you go back to the old rules. If it's 10 Tvachim tall, again, you have this wall, right?
Let me picture it. You have a wall which has a protrusion like that. Right? And here's the bottom. So if it's Rishus HaYachid, the Chor has the status of Rishus HaYachid. If it's Rishus HaRabim, so Nidon Kafi Midoseim. What does that mean? That means if it's 4x4 wide and this part is 10 Tvachim tall, so it's Rishus HaYachid. If this is less than 10 Tvachim tall, it's 8 Tvachim tall, and it's 4x4 wide, it's Kamelis. If this is less than 10 Tvachim tall, or more than 3, less than 4x4 wide, then it's a what? Makom Torah, right? So you just analyze it by itself, meaning there's no halacha forward. We analyze it by itself. Whereas the Rishus HaYachid has a unique halacha that even the little nooks and crannies become part of the Rishus HaYachid. What's an example of this? So the classic example is a window ledge. A porch. Sometimes. Go back to that one second. But before we get too excited about Rishus HaYachid, the Mishnah Berurah has two possible limitations of this halacha. First one is in Sifkat and Tes. Mishnah Berurah has two opinions whether or not it's only considered Chorei Rishus HaYachid if this is Dalad al Dalad wide. If it's less than Dalad al Dalad wide, it's not considered Chorei Rishus HaYachid. In case he's discussing it more like this. Here's the Shus HaRabim. Here's the Shus HaYachid.
So if this is less than 4x4, it would not have the status of Chorei Rishus HaYachid. That's one opinion of Mishnah Berurah. The other opinion of Mishnah Berurah is it doesn't matter. Then it's Sifkat in Yod, the Mishnah Berurah is a discussion, does this have to be 10 Tfachim tall in order to be considered Chorei Rishus HaYachid? If it's less than 10 Tfachim tall, maybe it's not considered Chorei Rishus HaYachid. So this is relevant to the Shaila that the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa discusses, which is the guy who lives in the area where there's no Erev. So where does he put his key? Puts his key in his belt. So he gets to his house, picture the case, the guy's walking in the street from shul, he gets to his house, he takes his key out of his belt, and what does he do? What does he do with the key, guys? Puts the key where? In the keyhole, right? He'll be in the fourth year to know that. Takes the key and puts it in the keyhole. What is the status of the keyhole?
Machlokas.
Machlokas, shouldn't it be? Isn't that Chorei Rishus HaYachid? So didn't he just carry Nimsa? That he was standing in the Carmelis, let's say, or maybe he lives in Times Square, and he took his key out of his belt, puts it into the keyhole, he just took his key from a Rishus HaRabim, or a Carmelis, into a Rishus HaYachid.
But there's no Hanacha.
It is a Hanacha. When something's at rest, it's Munach.
He's not letting go, he's holding.
You don't have to let go. You know, I moved it into the other Rishus. That's also a concern.
No, I thought that if you're in a Rishus HaYachid, and you extend into a Rishus Rabim, then
yeah, but the key is resting on its own. If I would let go of the key, it's on its own. Okay, interesting point. Maybe I'm still okay. Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa doesn't say that. So Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says, shouldn't that depend on these two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah, which we're generally machmir on, that even if it's less than 4x4 tefachim wide, it should be considered Chorei Rishus HaYachid. So Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa distinguishes between two types of lock cylinders. Some types of lock cylinders, old skeleton key lock cylinders where you could peek through the proverbial keyhole. So those have the status of Chorei Rishus HaYachid. Our lock cylinders, you cannot peek through. They do not go through and through. So that's like if I had this. So that's not Chorei Rishus HaYachid. There's a lock cylinder in the middle which you can't see through. So he says he doesn't think when you stick the key into the keyhole that should be considered Chorei Rishus HaYachid. Because you can't see through and through. If you have a skeleton key on your belt, then you might have a problem. But the next problem is, which is not discussed by the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, is okay, so let's say I stuck my key into the door. Now, a lot of doors, you have to turn and push. Right, so I stick my key in. Some you don't. If it's a deadbolt, you don't. But if it's not a deadbolt, you have to stick your key in, turn, and then push. So if I turn the key, like these doors, if you turn the key and then you push, what happens? The key goes underneath the doorway of the Rosh Hashanah. So how do you ever open a door with these, if you have that type of door, with these key belts? Every time I put the key in and turn the lock and then push in, the key is half inside of the doorway. So the Paskim quote in Mishnah Berurah later, the Mishnah, which is an interesting idea. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Nun Bay, Sifkat and Yud, says that even though it's also generally to stick a kli halfway into a Rishus HaYachid from a Rishus HaRabim, from a Karmelis into a Rishus HaYachid, it's permissible to stick a kli halfway in. So if you have such a situation, such a scenario, you should be careful to take the key out before it's totally underneath the airspace of the inside of the doorway. You have to turn it, open it a drop, and pull the key out. Even though it's halfway already, halfway in, and halfway is normally out, so that's only from a Rosh Hashanah, rather than Rosh Hashanah, but not from a Karmelis to Rosh Hashanah.
Which is a huge nafkamina, depending on where you live.
Right. That's why I mention it. Another important shaila in Chori Rosh Hashanah comes up at the end of Siman Shin Mem Vav, which I was very happy actually Rosh Hashanah mentioned this year, if you were paying attention. The end of Siman Shin Mem Vav, the Shulchan Aruch discusses when you walk up to a house, you have what the Shulchan Aruch calls a skupa. You have a stoop or little porch. You walk up to a house. Have this more in Queens a lot. You walk up to the house and then you have a little roof, two stairs, and you get to the doorway.
The door that opens out.
You walk up a few stairs and then there's a door. Like a lot of houses are like that.
Yeah. Your door is like on the ground.
No, your door is at the top of the stairs. You walk up a few stairs or you have you have a little porch in the front of the house. So if there's walls around the porch, so it's a Rosh Hashanah. Or if it's 10 tefachim tall, presumably Rosh Hashanah. But let's say it's not 10 tefachim tall. Maybe it's not 4, whatever. It's not 10 tefachim tall, there's no walls around it. So the Mishnah Berurah here has a whole discussion of taking the key out from underneath the mat and opening the door, or carrying things from there into the house that people think it's mutter. The Mishnah Berurah at the end of Siman Shin Mem Vav, Sukkot Lamed Aleph. Of course, from the Taz, the people think you can carry there, but you're not allowed to carry there. So you have to be careful to carry. Why? Because since it has no walls, and it's not 10 tefachim tall, meaning it has no walls, so it becomes like a Rishus HaLefaneh. So let's say over here, coming into this building, there'd be a few steps, we'd walk up into this building. So it's not the same as this building, because there's no walls, it's not Rishus HaYachid. It has the status of the street of the Karmelis. So if I carry from that little porch into my house, it's like carrying from a Karmelis to Rishus HaYachid. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav here asks, why shouldn't this little porch be considered Chorei Rishus HaYachid? It's an appendage to the Rishus HaYachid, like a window ledge. So he says a rule that whenever you have an area which could either be considered Chorei Rishus HaYachid or it can be considered part of the Karmelis, meaning the Bnei HaKarmelis use it also. The mailman comes on. Anybody could walk onto my porch. So we see which one has a greater claim on the area. So he says, well, between the porch and my house, there's a big door. Between the Karmelis and my porch, there's nothing. Anybody who wants could walk onto my porch. So he says, the porch is more shayach to the Karmelis than it is to my house. So that's why it's nidon ki rishus lefanez. It's considered a karmelis and not part of the rishus hayachid. But if you have a deck in the back of your house, where the bnei karmelis are not invited to use your deck, so a lot of decks have walls around them. But assuming it doesn't have a wall, all the walls are not halachic walls. I mean, there are big breaks in it. So a deck should be considered chorei rishus hayachid even if it doesn't have walls, because it's an appendage to the rishus hayachid. And it's not intended for the Bnei HaKarmelis to use it. So I think that's what the post can say, that a deck would have the status of Chorei Rishus HaYachid. So that's the third property which is unique to Rishus HaYachid, that's Chorim. The fourth property which is unique to Rishus HaYachid is Avi Rishus HaYachid, is Kirishus HaYachid. The avir of the rishus is the same as the rishus that's described here in Sif Hey. Avir shus hayochik, rishus hayochik, because the walls of the rishus hayochik go out the rakia, go all the way up to the sky. However, in Sif Yud Beis, Shulchan Aruch says that rishus harabim ain't a tofeses ela ad asara. Rishus harabim only goes 10 tefachim high. Higher than 10 tefachim in rishus harabim is a makom tur. So therefore, Rav Shachter had his case. If you throw from this window to that window, so it went from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, it only went Derech Makom Ptur, now that would be permissible. Because Rishus HaYachid only goes up until, I'm sorry, Rishus HaRabim only goes up until 10th Makom Ptur.
But he said that you still shouldn't do it unless you have a
problem. So I said the principle is true. Or if you have a, well, we don't need any more examples. And that's the basic story of Rishus HaYachid. We'll get back to this, the details of Mechitzos later. A Karmelis is described here in Sif Yud Daled. Exactly, what is a Karmelis? We spoke about it before, but a Karmelis is any area in the Rishus HaRabim. It can't be in Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYachid, there's no other Rishuyos in Rishus HaYachid. It's Mevatel every Rishus. So it's in a Rishus HaRabim, or it's nothing. But it has a sheer dal al dal. It has a sheer makam. So that's described here in Sif Yud Daled. Ezehu karmel, it's makam shein hilo harabim. Meaning it's not a rishus harabim. People don't walk there. They go in yam, ubika, sea or valley. Has the status of a karmel. What does this mean? This means the following. And this is an important hara. Is that, let's say I have a street. It's tez zayin ama wide. Not roofed in. It's a mefulash mishal shar, goes straight from one gate of the city to the other gate of the city. Just people don't walk on it a lot. So that has the status of what? Of a karmelis. But why? Is this, so you say, well, 600,000 people don't walk there, but if you read the Shulchan Aruch later, and we're going to talk about it more at length, some Rishonim hold, maybe the Mishnah Berurah claims most Rishonim hold, you don't need 600,000 people. So why is this street, which is not traversed by 600,000 people, which is Tez Zayin Amar Wide, it's not Makur, and it's Mefulish Mishal Shar, why is that considered? A Karmelis should be considered Rishus HaRabim for those Rishonim. It's an important question. So the Beis Ephraim answers that obviously there's a minimum amount of Shir to be considered Rishus HaRabim. Even for those Rishonim who hold that you don't need 600,000 people, that you do need some sort of multitude of people. If you know you have your people on the Shabbos Spatzir, you know, walking up and down the block, and that's all you have, there's no busy traffic every day on the road, then that would, even if though it has all the other parameters of Rishus HaRabim, it would not be considered Rishus HaRabim. That would be a karmelis, and that's these cases described here in Sif Yud Daled. It means it doesn't reach the minimal amount of people to be considered Rishus HaRabim, even for those Rishonim who reject the shear of 600,000. Yeah.
In suburban neighborhoods,
you're not having Rishus
HaRabim.
In suburban communities,
like,
you're
not so much like
Rishus
HaRabim on any given street.
Right. So that would be, great. The Rama says, we don't have Rishus HaRabim as Manazan. We have to deal with that. So that's the other extreme. On this halacha, though, that Yam is considered a karmelis, the Mishnah Berurah has an interesting discussion in Sif Katan Mem Ches. Why is the Yam a karmelis? Why shouldn't the Yam be a Rishus HaYachid? He says, well, quotes from the Magen Avraham, we must be discussing a case. Why should it be Rishus HaYachid? Because the Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Kuf that Maya lo mevatli mechitzta. If I have a boar, for Shabbos to discuss that. If I have a boar that's filled with water, so that's not mevatli mechitzos, and inside is still considered a Rishus HaYachid. If I fill it with bricks, or peiros, the Gemara says. So it is mevatel Rishus HaYachid. But water is not. So let's say I have a lake, a yam, or, the yam. Why is the yam considered to be, karmelis, shouldn't it be Rishus HaYachid if it has walls? So the Magen Avraham says we must be talking about a case where it has no walls. The sea, shore is so inclined in such a way that it does not, it's not to be considered a tail mislake, meaning the angle is too low to be considered a wall. But if you would have steep walls around your body of water would be considered a Rishus Hayachid. But then the Mishnah Berurah quotes from a Meiri. Who says a different reason? That since they're far enough, they're far away from each other. Like Rav Shechter quoted the Ramban when he was discussing the continental shelf, that there's, you can't say every continent is considered Rishus Hayachid because the walls are too far apart. People don't feel like they're enclosed in anything. So too by these bodies of water, we must be discussing it where the walls are very far apart. That the, since the people don't feel enclosed by the walls, they lose their ability to convert the area into Rishus Hayachid. So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, what about a thin river? Well, that's two walls. You need four walls to be Rishus Hayachid. The other two walls of the river are very far downriver. And two walls does not convert an area into Rishus Hayachid. So anyway, it's an interesting discussion. Maybe a lake, if it has such steep walls. You have to know that it has such steep walls.
That's only according to then the first two.
You know, either way, you need steep walls. If you don't have steep walls, you have nothing. You can't be Rishus Hayachid without walls. The Meiri says, even if you have walls, it doesn't make a difference. But others give different reasons, because there's so much water over the. This Mishnah Berurah begins a whole discussion about bodies of water being considered Rishus Hayachid. That's why I mentioned it. Since a karmelis is a makom ptur, in its essence, just midr rabbanan, who was converted into a karmelis, is a unique halacha which applies to karmelis, which is quoted here in the Ramah at the end of Sif Yud Tes in Simon Shin Mem Hei, which is linked to the halacha of bitul rishus that we mentioned by Rishus Hayachid, that you cannot have any other rishus within a Rishus Hayachid. So the Ramah discusses, can you have a makom ptur in a karmelis? Let's say a fire hydrant in a karmelis. Is that a makom ptur, or is that blend in to become part of the karmelis? So one opinion in the Ramah is that we say matzah minas mino v'neir, since a karmelis is also really just a makom ptur, yet Chazal converted it into a karmelis, so it schleps along all the other makom pturos that happen to be there. Matzah minas mino v'neir. It's kind of an odd term for this context, but that's what it means. And the other opinion is that no, you can have a makom ptur within a karmelis. Mishnah Berurah says we are no egg to be machmir on this. Shaila. So you cannot have a makom ptur in a karmelis because we say matzah min as mino v'neir. So therefore, fire hydrant. This negates a very famous eitzah for a person who forgets to empty his pockets before Shabbos, and then he finds himself walking in a Shabbos in an area where there's no Erev. So what should he do? So there are many eitzahs. You look in the modern Sfarim and Hilchos Shabbos, they have a whole list of eitzahs. What should you do if you find yourself walking in the middle of a Rishus where you're not supposed to carry with something in your pocket? You should keep walking, a whole list. So one of the very popular eitzahs is to put it down on top of a makom ptur. Because then, in order to be chayav for Hotzah and Hilchos Shabbos, you need a akira. I have to have uprooted it in Rishus Hayachid and planted it hanacha in Rishus Harabim, or vice versa. Okay? You need akira and a hanacha, a picking up and a putting down. So if I pick it up in my house, walk outside, and as I'm walking, I realize, oh boy, I have this in my pocket, I can put it down in a fire hydrant, because that's a makom ptur. I picked it up from Rishus Hayachid and only put it down in the makom ptur. That's fine. So let's say I'm walking here in this neighborhood and I have that. So that eitzah of putting it down in a makom ptur only works if the area is certainly a Rishus Harabim. What if the area is a karmelis? So then your fire hydrant, your parking meter, get converted into a karmelis along with the whole greater area, because we say matzah min is mino v'neir. So if you're in the middle of Times Square, let's mount the pole that that's Rishus Harabim, so then the fire hydrant eitzah would work. But if you're in any area which is less than that almost, which is a machlokes haposkim, if it's Rishus Harabim, karmelis, maybe certainly a karmelis, then the fire hydrant eitzah is not that great. Again, I'll just point this out parenthetically. What does this shayla depend on? Can you have a makom ptur in a karmelis, or does it get schlepped along with the whole gzeira of karmelis? So Rabbi Chesko Abramsky, his sefer in Hilchos Shabbos, thinks that this also depends on the shaila which we mentioned before. If makom p'tur is the irishus, it's just a nothing, whatever can't be anything else. So that has the status of makom p'tur. So the makom p'tur could get schlepped along very easily with the karmelis, gets swept up with the karmelis, because it could have the status of a karmelis. But if makom p'tur is its own rishus, it has its own identity, then it could even exist in the middle of a karmelis, because it's its own thing. Anyway, we're machmir on that shaila. However, this is generally true, and this brings us to a very important point, is that there's two types of karmelios. This is by the general karmelis, which midaraisa is a makom p'tur, but they midarabanan, and they converted it into a karmelis. However, there's another type of karmelis. Let's say an area that has three walls. So most Rishonim hold, and some Rishonim hold, that in order to be considered Rishus HaYachid, it's enough with three walls. Midrabanan, as Rosh Hashanah has pointed out a few times, you need a tikkun on the Ruach Revius. You have to fix the fourth wall so it'd be closed a little too. Closed. So that's Midrabanan. But Midaraisa, what is it? It's a Rishus HaYachid. Midrabanan, it's a karmelis. So that type of karmelis is not a Makom Tur Midaraisa, it's a Rishus HaYachid Midaraisa. So if you look here in the Mishnah Brura, Simon Shin Mem Vav, Sifkoin Yud Zayin, he points out another case where you have a Rishus HaYachid Midaraisa, which was converted into a karmelis, and that's a karpif, an area which we're going to discuss at length next time, which is an area which is not hukof ledira. There are mechitzos there, real brick walls, but it was not made for people to live inside of it. So you're not allowed to carry in there. Like every other karmelis, more than amos. So Mishnah, but the Shulchan Aruch says, "Umuter lahotzi mimenu lekarmelis acher kagon biko veres lefana." Let's say I have this karpif, and I want to stick within daod amos. I'm going to stick something from this karpif into a karmelis, the classic karmelis, which is a makom p'tur, which was converted into a karmelis. So really, what I've done is taken from a Rishus HaYachid and put it into a karmelis, because a karpif is really a Rishus HaYachid midaraisa. Just midarabanan, they convert into a karmelis. So what I'm really doing is taking from a Rishus HaYachid into a karmelis. So Shulchan Aruch says that's permissible. So the Mishnah Berurah explains that even though these are really two types of karmelios, one is a Rishus HaYachid and one is the makom p'tur type karmelis, nonetheless, his Rumidoseyam, the Chazal said that you can carry, that we treat all the karmelios the same. At least regarding this issue, that I can carry from one to the other. Why? Because if they would say you can't carry from a karpif to a regular karmelis, they would say why? Because karpif is Rishus HaYachid, so that halacha with karpif is just some sort of chumrah. You know, some sort of new age chumrah. But it's not the real halacha. So to prevent people from making that mistake, they equated them all. It's important.
But since when are you allowed to carry Daod Amos?
Less than Daod Amos. Within Daod Amos. Within Daod Amos. Since Karmelis, the Chazal had to create its own identity, and it's the whole thing is a creation, Midrabanan, they were mako in terms of the following principles. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah and Simon Shin Mem He Sifkat and Ayin Gimel, he quotes from the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara says that by a karmelis was given the kulos of a Rishus HaYachid and the kulos of a Rishus HaRabim, the kulos of both. What does that mean? It means it doesn't have the status of chorim, that's a chumra of Rishus HaYachid. It doesn't have the status of avi Rishus HaYachid, that's a chumra of Rishus HaYachid. But it has to be Daod al Daod, because that's a kulo of Rishus HaYachid. So it was given the kulos of each one. The kulo of the Rishus HaRabim is that it only goes 10 tefachim tall, so karmelis has that kulo. Kulo of Rishus HaYachid, it needs to be 4 tefachim wide, and that's it has that kulo. So therefore, karmelis only goes up 10 tefachim tall, just like a Rishus HaRabim. But what does that mean? Karmelis only goes till it's 10 tefachim tall. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Tezayin, this is a very difficult issue, which we'll get back to a little bit later, that of the Gagan Habolet. You have the roof,
which sticks out over the house. Treating roof. So this is 4x4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim tall. So the top of the roof should have been Rishus HaYachid, but you have this roof which protrudes. So as the Mishnah Berurah says, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that we don't say why is this considered a Rishus HaYachid up here? Because the walls continue up, which is called good asik mechitza. So the Gemara says, if the mechitzos are not nikaros, I don't see this wall up here. Not apparent at all. So then we don't say good asik mechitza. So this area, according to some, we'll see, cannot be considered Rishus HaYachid because this wall is missing. So what is the status of this area up here? It's not Rishus HaYachid because you're missing. The wall can't continue. So what is it? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes two opinions.
It's only on one side that sticks out.
Yeah.
Not over all sides.
No, even one side.
But then you should have three mechitzas.
Let's say you have three mechitzas.
Maybe
the daraisa is Rishus HaYachid, but not the darabanan.
Then just put a lechi up, and then you've got your problem. So.
Okay, but let's say it's on two walls. Makes it easier for you. Maybe it's on two walls. Let's say
two walls
like
is still.
Let's say it goes like that. Okay. So what is it up here? So, well, it's bigger than Dalet al Dalet. So what should it be? It's not just a rabbin. There's no highway over here. So what should it be? Be a carmelis, right? Because it's not Rishus HaRabim, it's not Rishus HaYachid, but it has a shiur malkum of Dalet al Dalet, it should have been a carmelis. So that's one opinion that's quoted over here. I think that's actually in the Shulchan Aruch. Zizin abodim in a kosov yeshbem Dalet al Dalet havi carmelis. Gag haboed al mechitzos havi carmelis. But the Mishnah Berurah calls him the Gra. This is how it's Tosos Kosu quotes from the Yushalmi, that this is a Makom Ptur. Why is this a Makom Ptur? Because Ein Karmelis L'mal Me'asara. We would have said Ein Karmelis L'mal Me'asara means like we said by Rishus HaRabim, that the airspace of Rishus HaRabim is only Tofes Ad Asara Tfachim. Meaning from here, if Rishus HaRabim is here, it only goes up 10 Tfachim. Doesn't mean that I cannot, so this is a Karmelis, which is only Tofes 10 Tfachim. Some interpret, the Gra, the Yushalmi interpret, then no, what it means is you cannot have a carmelis that's 10 tefachim above the base ground level. If the base ground level is 10 tefachim below, what's on top, you can have an elevated carmelis. Which is a chiddush. We wouldn't have necessarily said that. So they consider this gag to be a makom tur. This is important, my focus, when we said that a carmelis only goes 10 tefachim tall, what does that mean? Is it referring to the airspace or the ground level of the carmelis?
Otherwise, then the carmelis at the top of the roof would be carmelis. Four tenths above the roof.
Right. The Shulchan Aruch would say this is a kamos which only goes up 10 tefachim above the roof. But the others say no. What it means, kamos l'mal me'asara means you cannot have an elevated kamos. Mm-hmm.
And how does the Shulchan Aruch answer that up?
What do you mean answer that up? It's a machlokes.
No, I mean, well, fine. But
the Pashup Shah is like the Shulchan Aruch. That ain't karmos l'mal me'asara. As we said, it was given the kulos of Rishus HaYachid and kulos of Rishus HaRabim. The kulos of Rishus HaRabim is from its ground level. It goes up 10 tefachim. But not that you can't have an elevated karmos. Or an elevated Rishus HaRabim. We wouldn't have necessarily said that that's what it means. But that's the opinion of the Gra. Is that ain't karmos l'mal me'asara means that you cannot have a karmos that's elevated. Maybe even for that matter, it's just a rabbin that's over here. Because it only goes till 10 tefachim.
But we come straight to the ground. Let's say you took like a really long plank, so that it was lower, so that the angle was less than Talmud's locket. And then you're walking on the ground, that's a carmelis.
We're going to get to that exact case. Excellent. I knew George Washington Bridge. We're going to get to that.
So according to the Gra,
yeah.
Could you have a carmelis that goes up more than 10 tefachim?
According to the Shulchan Aruch, yes. According to the Gra, no. That would be a makom tur.
Starting on the ground.
Oh, if it starts on the ground, but it ends up higher.
It still doesn't go up higher than
10 tefachim. I don't know. And so if it's in 10 tefachim to the ground, everyone would agree it's a carmelis. It could be a carmelis.
But how?
And we'll get back to this case. We're going to come back to this. We're going to revisit this. This halacha. When we talk about Rishus HaYachid, if you still have a question, then we'll get back to it. That's basically, I think, the highlights regarding carmelis. Regarding Rishus HaRabim, so most of the details are here in Siv Zayin. Simon Shin Mem Hey Siv Zayin. First rule in order to be considered a Shusharam is that it has to be Tez Zayin Amma wide, 16 Amos wide. It's important, however, I don't know if it appears in the Mishnah Berurah, but Kiva Eger points out on the side of the Shulchan Aruch that even the sidewalk counts. Even though the people walking on the sidewalk are not the same as the people walking in the street, they have two different modes of transportation, they all converge. That's also considered Tez Zayin Amma. On this halacha that has to be Tez Zayin Amma wide, there's a machlokas here in Shulchan Aruch. You wouldn't know it's a machlokas without the Mishnah Berurah's help. You would just think it's a contradiction. And Sif Ches, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have a Rishus HaRabim which is miskatzer, it's Tez Zayin Amma wide. Which gets thinner. And it becomes less than Tez Zayin Amma. So the first opinion, Shulchan Aruch, Sif Ches just says that's a Rishus HaRabim too. No details. That's a Rishus HaRabim. Then in Sif Tes it says that if this becomes less than a 13 and a third Amos wide, it's no longer Rishus HaRabim. This becomes less than 13 and a third Amos wide, is no longer Rishus HaRabim. In Sif Ches there are no details. It just says kind of categorically that this would be considered Rishus HaRabim. So you kind of think it's a contradiction. So in the Bir Halacha, he points out that it shouldn't be phrased like this. It should really be two opinions, because this is a machlokas. Rishus HaRabim HaMiskatzer to less than Tez Zayin Amma wide. One opinion is that's considered Rishus HaRabim, even though it's less than 13 and a third in the middle. And the other opinion is that it cannot be less than 13 and a third. Once it goes less than 13 and a third, it loses its status of Rishus HaRabim.
Where do you get that number from?
I don't know. Good point.
Kind of random.
Yeah. I think it has a source in Warren Aaron, but I don't remember offhand. Don't remember. The second principle, in order to be considered Rishus HaRabim, is that it cannot have a roof. If it has a roof, it's not considered Rishus HaRabim. This is a Rav, who's a Rebbe here in IBC, I think. Rebbe Tzvi Ram. I don't know if you know him. But he's a Rav also on the east side. There's the Lion's Den for Erevin. And on the Lower East Side. So there's no Erevin over there because the Moshe was against building Erevin in Manhattan. So he came up with it. People need to carry, though. It's conducive for families in order to move in that they have an Erev. So he figured out that most of the Jews live in two buildings that are across the street from each other. So he figured if he could put lovage strings between the two buildings going across, that would make the middle of Rishus HaRabim, even if it's Rishus HaRabim, Moshe felt it's Rishus HaRabim, and you can't build an Erev there. If it's Makura, it can't be Rishus HaRabim. So he wanted to put lovage strings across from the two buildings so people could carry from one building to the other. So he tried to do this. Rav Shechter discussed it last year or the year before, whether or not that would work. But Rabbi Simon and his Sefer, Hilchos Erevin, which is also a very helpful Sefer, thinks that doesn't work. Even for Moshe, it wouldn't work. But anyway, it's an interesting suggestion by everybody to you, which is based on this principle. The third characteristic that's necessary to be considered with Rishus HaRabim is that it be mechuvan mishar l'shar. Mefuloshin mishar l'shar. Open from gate to gate. If you read the language of the Shulchan Aruch, it's not exactly as I just presented it. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Was a Rishus HaRabim any area? Let's read it together. Is a Rishus HaRabim? Mechavos u'shvakim harachavim Tez Zayin Amma. If it's rachav Tez Zayin Amma, ve'ein a mekurim. There's no roof. Ve'ein lahem choma. Doesn't have a wall. That's obvious. Doesn't have a wall. Va'afilu yesh lahem choma. Even if it has a wall, im hay mefulash and mishal shar have Rishus HaRabim. Even if it has a wall, if it's mefulash mishal shar, then it's Rishus HaRabim. So many poskim held, this is the opinion of the Mishnah Nes Yaakov, is that it's on Chazanish also, is that the only time you require mefulash mishal shar in order to be considered Rishus HaRabim is if it's a walled city, which is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Why? Why should I only need it if it's a walled city? Well, because it's Chazanish, makes a lot of sense, because if it's a walled city, so you have the following problem.
You have, let's say you have your wall. Right? So if my road goes like this, there's no wall around. But my road, let's say, goes like this. And then it goes like this. And there are buildings all along here, right? Manhattan. So why is that not Rosh Hashanah? We had this exact case. This is what Rosh Hashanah has been talking about this whole time, this Chazanish, that if you have the buildings, can somehow make up, if this would be at a right angle, it would be a little better. If it would be at a right angle, you'd see a little bit better, which would be that you have buildings all along here. So then you have wall number one, wall number two, and wall number three. That's Rosh Hashanah Midaraisa. So that's why in a city that has walls, we would require it to be, because the walls themselves, even if I don't have buildings over here, the walls themselves can start to serve as the walls of the Rosh Hashanah. Right? Can you follow what I'm saying? We talked about the case of buildings. But if you have a walled city, you don't need the buildings. It's like you had buildings all around. So that's why you need Mefuash Mishawashar. Because if it's Mefuash Mishawashar, the walls of the city don't convert your area into Rosh Hashanah. So when I have a walled city, that's when I need Mefuash Mishawashar. But if I don't have a walled city, there would be no requirement of Mefuash Mishawashar in order to be considered a Rosh Hashanah. Now this is against the position that Rav Shechter quoted from Shlomo David Kahana, who was the Rav in Warsaw. As far as I know, Warsaw didn't have a wall. But who was the Rav in Warsaw, who said that the bigger the city gets, so the less likely you are to have a street which is Mefuash Mishar Oshar, because the more cities intersect with each other.
Which Rav was this?
Shlomo David Kahana, who was makel to build the Eruv in Warsaw because there was no street that was Mefuash Mishar Oshar. So he seems to have been makel even though there is no wall. And the way Rav Shechter presents it every year, I also don't think he thinks that you require a wall. Mefuash Mishar Oshar means that it doesn't go straight through. And then you'd have to say that the language of the Shulchan Aruch is not to be taken so literally. Rav Moshe, Rav Shechter mentioned,
So
Shechter mentioned that Rav Moshe's position had, Rav Moshe had a unique position about what is called Mefuash Mishar Oshar. Because Rav Moshe asked, what sense does it make that the street should have to go straight through? You have your city, why should the street have to go straight through, even if it goes like this? So what? What's the difference? Why should there be, he can't believe that there should be such a requirement to be Mefuash Mishar Oshar. So this halacha, Mefuash Mishar Oshar, comes from a Rashi. So Ramosha reinterprets Rashi, even though the Shulchan Aruch quotes it the way this way. Ramosha reinterprets Rashi, that should be saying something else, which is Ramosha interprets that Mefuash Mishar Oshar means that the specifications of Rosh Hashanah are consistent throughout. There's no point, is there an area where it loses its specifications of Rosh Hashanah? The problem with Ramosha's position is, of course, every time you have an overpass, so then it's no longer Rosh Hashanah. Or this case, which we had in Shulchan Aruch, that if it comes less than Tezayin Amah, Rosh Hashanah is Katzer. So it loses its specifications of Rosh Hashanah in the middle, nonetheless, two opinions of Shulchan Aruch. But certainly if it's more than 13 and a third in the middle, it have the status of Rosh Hashanah. So why? Didn't it lose its specifications in the middle? These are problems with the Moshe. And that's what Moshe's position about Mefuash Mishar Oshar. However, the poskim explain, I think it's Meiri in Erevin, then why does it have to, Ramosha asks, what sense does it make that it has to be straight through, even if it's curved? Who cares? So Meiri answers, no, if it's straight through, everybody knows, if you have a road that's straight, people speed. It's much easier to go through a road that's straight. If the road curves back and forth and back and forth, like the mountain road, it's very hard to traverse. So unless people will go. People will take the straighter route, because that's easier to go through. So that's why Rosh Hashanah, if one should say that, well, that's why Rosh Hashanah might have to be Mefuash Mishar Oshar, because that makes it easier to traverse. That's the svara behind being Mefuash Mishar Oshar. Yeah.
If it's true that the wall would make a difference for the city that's Mefuash,
Yeah.
Then wouldn't that be a raya for Chazanish. Buildings being a wall as well?
Yeah.
Even though some people would say buildings are walls for themselves, not for the street. So in other words, the wall is a wall for the city, not a wall for the
right, that's why the Chazanish works well with him. As an issue, everything works. Because he interprets that it's only when you have a wall. Mishkanus Yaakov also says it's only when you have a wall. Ramosha rejects the whole thing. So it's hard to know. The next requirement to be which is Haram is that it have Shishim Ribo, according to some opinions. Here the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesha Omrim, it's in Siv Zion, Yesha Omrim, that you need Shishim Ribo. So the Mishnah Berurah says, whenever the rule is, whenever the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesha Omrim, that we don't paskan that way. The Mishnah Berurah says, should be machmir on this. Rosh Virla came. However, in the I think in the Sharetzion. Yeah, the Sharetzion, Sukkot and Chof Beis, quotes from the Magen Avraham, who proves in the Shulchan Aruch and other areas where the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein lanu vishus haram mizman hazeh. Why is Ein Lanu? The Rama says at the end of Simen Shin Mem Hey, I think at the end of Simen Shin Mem Vav, Ein Lanu Rishus Harabim Bizman Hazeh. We don't have Rishus Harabim. Why not? So it's presumably because they're assuming you need Shishim Ribo, and we don't have areas where Shishim Ribo people traverse every day. So it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama that you do require Shishim Ribo. So the Mishnah Berurah goes on a quest in the Bir Halacha to collect all of the Rishonim and starts taking a tally of who holds what. So I think he comes out as not a Dasi Yochid. I think he says this in the Mishnah Berurah. It's not a Dasi Yochid. That opinion that requires Shishim Ribo, but he himself, he says a Bal Nefesh should be Machmir. Is that his language? Bal Nefesh Yachmir La'atzma. I think the son of the Chafetz Chaim wrote a biography of the Chafetz Chaim where he says the Chafetz Chaim personally didn't carry an Erevin because of this reason. He himself was machmir on this. And that you don't require Shishim Ribo to be considered Rishus HaRavim. What is the requirement? For those who hold that you require Shishim Ribo to be considered Rishus HaRavim, what does Shishim Ribo mean? Shishim Ribo where? So look in the Shulchan Aruch, he says, Shekol She'ein Shishim Ribo Ovrim Bo Bichol Yom. Any area which doesn't have 600,000 people traversing it every single day. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Chipasti b'chol rishonim, and he hasn't found anybody who said that you need 600,000 people every day. Presumably he doesn't mean on this spot, but on this road. That's machloker, so you need on this spot, on this road. But either way, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't think that such a definition exists, that you should require 600,000 people every day. However, the Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham like that. I don't know why he found it. Later posts can point out that the Rishonim say this explicitly. That some hold he requires Shishim Ribo Ovim Bo B'chol Yom. So that's one opinion about what Shishim Ribo means. 600,000 people go there every single day. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha quotes from the Ritva and the Ran that it means it's Pasuach L'shishim Ribo. It's open to 600,000 people. Maybe it means that, he doesn't explain all the details, but maybe it means that over a certain period of time you'll have 600,000 people there, or you could, in theory, have 600,000 people there, whatever it means, Pasuach L'rabim, means that it's open to 600,000 people, but not necessarily that they're there every day. The Aruch HaShulchan similarly discusses, which we'll get back to in 2 minutes, discusses train tracks. You have train tracks going through the Erev. So is that a Rishus HaRav? Can you have train tracks going through an Erev? So he says, well, if it's Tez Zayin Amar wide, foolish Mishal Oshar, so why should it not be considered Rishus HaRav? He says, well, do you have Shishim Ribo? So he says, well, you probably don't have Shishim Ribo every single day. But he says, you don't need Shishim Ribo every single day. As long as over a period of time you have Shishim Ribo, says the Aruch HaShulchan, then the Mesilas HaBarzel, the train tracks, would also be considered Rishus HaRav.
Does it matter that the individual tracks are not 16 amos wide?
I think the area that's set aside for the tracks. Because I don't know, maybe the tracks themselves?
The tracks themselves are, 4 feet, 5 feet across?
Yeah, but sometimes you have many tracks in a row.
Right, but so each track would then be like its own. Because you can't go from this part.
We'll see. Maybe switch, we'll see. Maybe they don't have to beat that Zion number one. We'll get back to that in a second. So that's the second opinion about what Shisha Mibo is, that it means it's Pasuach L'Shisha Mibo. But I don't necessarily need 600,000 people there every single day. The third opinion about what Shisha Mibo is quoted here in the Shaar HaTzion, and that's Rav Moshe's opinion also, Simit Shin Mem Hei, Sifka and Chof Hei. Shaar HaTzion says, as long as there's 600,000 people in the city, not on any particular street, in the whole city. So the major difference between this opinion and the rest is that for this opinion, the whole city becomes a Rishus HaRabim, not just any particular street. That's why Rav Moshe keeps quoting Rav Moshe felt the dead end was Rishus HaRabim. Why is the dead end the Rishus HaRabim? Because Rav Moshe feels as long as you have 600,000 people within a city, the whole city becomes, all the streets of the city become a Rishus HaRabim. Because if the definition of 600,000 is based in the city, then the definition of Rishus HaRabim would be all the streets in the city. So how do you know? But I think Rav Moshe adds on, it doesn't mean 600,000 people living in the city, it means 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given time. I think that he adds over the Shaar HaTzion. So Rav Moshe goes on to his he starts making math equations. He says, how do you know if you have 600,000, how many people do you have to have? It's impossible to count everybody on the street at one time. So he says there must be some sort of formula which will allow us to determine if you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city. So Rav Moshe says, well, if you have, he thinks on his own, that between one out of four and one out of five people from any given city are on the streets at any given point during the day. Three out of four, or four out of five people are generally indoors, and one out of five people, or one out of four people, are generally on the street at any given time. Just reporting what it says. So Moshe says if you have between 2.4 million and 3 million people in a city, then that's called Shisha Mibo. Because presumably on the streets of the city at any given time you'll have 600,000 people. So that's why that's in Ramosha's tshuva about the Erev and Flatbush. That's why he was against building the Erev and Flatbush, because he thought Flatbush was Rishus HaRabim, because you have more than that amount of people. More than 3 million people in that area. However, Manhattan, it's interesting. Manhattan, Rav Moshe was not against the area of Manhattan because it was Rishus HaRabim for that reason that you had more than 3 million people, because he was discussing where there were walls. Rav Moshe has other reasons why he can't build an area of Manhattan, but not because of this problem, of the 600,000 people on the streets of the city. What's interesting, though, is Rav Moshe, right after the Tshuva to Flatbush, has a Tshuva to Kew Gardens Hills, which also has, you would read the two, it seems like he's writing, it's two different people who's writing them. Rav Moshe's Makel to build an Erev in Kew Gardens Hills, which is in Queens, if anybody doesn't know, and he was Machmir in Flatbush. Presumably, though, in Kew Gardens, Queens, you also have 3 million people living in that area. So why was Rav Moshe Makel to build the Erev in Kew Gardens Hills, but he was Machmir in Flatbush? So those who are Talmidim and Rav Moshe answer the following explanation, which is that how do we judge the area of 3 million people? 3 million people where? Within the boundary of the city. Well, you have a tremendous city. Where do you stop counting the population to know 3 million people within what? So the shear Rav Moshe gives is between in Yud Beis Mil, because that was the shear Mafne B'Midbar. Yud Beis Mil. So Moshe says, if you have 3 million people in that area of Yud Beis Mil, so it's just HaRabim. But that's assuming you don't have other natural boundaries to break up the area. If you have natural boundaries to break up the area, which break up the area like a huge highway, which nobody, very few people walk across, or a river. So if of course, and there's not like bridges that people are constantly walking across. So of course that breaks up the area and you stop counting at the river. And the other side is a new city. So in Kew Gardens Hills, those were Talmidim Rav Moshe explained, and in Kew Gardens Hills you have, it's surrounded by highways. There's the FDR, there's the Grand Central, the LIE, and the Van Wyck. So since they all cordon off, Kew Gardens Hills is kind of like an island. So within that one little island you don't have 3 million people. Anyway, if that topic interests you. Shisha Mibo. Basically, what comes out is we have three opinions about what is Shisha Mibo. Number one, any Shisha Mibo on that street b'chol yom. Number two, it has to be pasuach l'rabim, pasuach l'shishamibo. Or number three is that we base shishamibo on the streets of the city at any given time. These are all generally the rules. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Sekhah and Yitzayim quotes from the Magen Avraham that drachim haholchim a year a year are also a rishus harabim. Drachim haholchim a year a year. So if Shechter quoted from his Orchos Chaim, Sapinka, that drachim haholchim a year a year, highways, are the paradigm of Rishus HaRabim. All of these conditions, the specifications that we've been giving for what is Rishus HaRabim, all descriptions of highways. I'm trying to describe a highway. But if you would have a bona fide highway, meaning what's a highway? It's Holchem, Drachem, Holchem, Eir, Eir. It goes from one town to the next town. That's a Rishus HaRabim even without all these specifications. And you don't need necessarily 600, the Orchos Chaim says you don't need 600,000 people on a highway. The highway would always be considered a Rishus HaRabim. Shechter has gone a step further, and he starts dispensing with the other conditions also. Like one year, someone asked him about the, no one asked it this year, about the Lincoln Tunnel. Should the Lincoln Tunnel be considered a Rishus HaRabim? Well, it's Makura. You can't have Rishus HaRabim, that's Makura. So Shechter said, well, maybe you don't need Makura, because they're all descriptions of highways. The Lincoln Tunnel is a highway without the fact that it's open on top. So the classical poskim.
Said it's, it is a Rishus HaRabim?
I think so, yeah. So one could have disagreed with the whole premise of Drachim HaHolchem a year over year. I mentioned this is a very Nogei Halacha Maisa. It's almost a lot of the Arabim in our communities is the highway issue. So Chiddush number one is what it says in the classical literature, that there are some who hold that on a highway you don't need 600,000 people. That's number one. That's the Magen Avraham with the Orchos Chaim and other Achronim say the same thing. Rav Shechter has gone a step further. Rav Shechter said, well, maybe the same way you don't need, because of his explanation, the highways are the paradigm. And all of these are just description of a highway. Maybe you don't need the other conditions either. Maybe you don't need Tezayin Amar wide. If you have train tracks that go from town to town to town, even though it's not Tezayin Amar wide, maybe it's also Rishus HaRabim, which is an issue in many of the local areas. Maybe we don't care about the roof either. That's an extension from what it says in the pasuk. Then Rav Shechter has extended another extension. What about the FDR highway? When they were discussing about building, built the Erev on the, I think on the east side, goes across the FDR highway. So I think Rav Shechter commented, he has an article about this in his, I think it's now in the Gina Segos. Maybe it's not. If not, it's in one of the yeshiva journals about building the Erev over the FDR. So Shechter says that you can't, because the FDR is Drachim HaHolchem a year a year. It's just a Rabim Daraisa. Maybe you don't have 600,000 people. I'm sorry. Even though you don't have 600,000 people, but it's Drachim HaHolchem a year a year, you don't need 600,000 people. But the FDR doesn't go a year a year. It just goes around and around Manhattan. So Shechter said what a highway means is that any road which doesn't blend in to become part of the roads of the city. It's not a city road. There are no stores there. There's no shopping. There's no parking. There's nothing to do with the city on those roads. The whole purpose is to travel from place to place. From, I guess, one part of the city to the other, like the West Side Highway with FDR. But it serves no purpose. It doesn't blend in with the rest of the streets of the city. That would also be considered Drachim HaHolchem a year over year. Yeah.
Is the area defined as there are no... there are no homes in between? Because a lot of times you have a road that connects two cities, but their stores...
Right, so I had this show, I was involved in an area where there was two cities on either side of a river, and there was a bridge between them. It's just a bridge. So what do you say? Every bridge is Drachim HaHolchem a year over year? I don't think so. So I think, no, as long as there's like the... We discussed, I think Shelton mentioned, the roads that you go through, let's say, the Catskills. So there's one town and another town... And then you go 20 miles and there's nothingness. So then the parts where there's 20 miles where there's nothingness is Drachim HaHolchem a year over year. But the parts that go from one town to the next town to the next town and all the way blends in with the roads and the streets of the city, that's not a Drachim HaHolchem.
Well, but then what's the... There has to be a cutoff point.
Once it leaves, I think Rav Shechter said, once it leaves the city, now it becomes Drachim HaHolchem a year over year.
So if there are two towns that are like, say... quarter mile apart.
Yeah.
So that's even if it's less, you know, or half a mile apart, so it's less than $2,000.
Yeah.
But it's.
I don't know how. There must be a shear. How far apart they have to be. Yeah, I don't know. You can press a shelter about it. Again, a lot of this is his, you know, is his own unique. This is a lot of this is Schefter's positions that we're talking about. It's not in the classical literature. So this is a problem for many cities. You know, Baruch Hashem, many of the highways are set off. Like Route 4 is set off from Teaneck somewhat. Or the, you know, a lot of times train tracks are set off because they don't want people running onto the tracks. But a lot of times you have that the train tracks go right through the city. Or even you have that a highway, there's no, it might be set off, but there's nothing blocking. There's no mechitza between the highway and the city, which is a problem in many areas. So if you're machmir for the that drachma hochma yiru yir, always to be considered with shushar rabim, you have a big problem. If you want to build your Erev in your city, including, you know, going either including anyway the highway. So what you have to do though is, let's say even if the highway. This I meant to mention. Even if the highway is set off, if you have entrance ramps and exit ramps, it's also then it's pasuach l'rishus harabim. So you'd have to close off the entrance ramps and the exit ramps. Anyway, you'd have to kind of totally put the rishus harabim, the highway, into isolation away from the air, which can sometimes involve a lot of construction. However, this issue itself, the Avnei Nezer quotes a machlokas between him and one of his contemporaries. Whether or not we're machmir for the issue itself. Again, the issue itself was pull away all of the extensions. The issue itself is drachma hochma yiru yir, quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah. Does it require shishim ribo also or not? That's where everything starts from. So the Avnei Nezer quotes a machlokas about that between himself and one of his contemporaries. So many posts can say we're mako on that shaila, but it will again his sefer on the basic shaila before you get to all the extensions. It will again his sefer. I'm Mordechai is mako on this shaila. I don't know what's in Riverdale. But the Shmir Shabbos Chachas, of course, Mishom Zaman, was also Mako on this Shiloh. Why was he Mako on the Shiloh? It's a good Raya. Because at the end of Simon Shin Mem Vav, the Ramah says that we don't have Rishus HaRabim Bizman HaZeh. Why? Because we don't have 600,000 people going on one street every day. But what's the Kasha? But what are you talking about? You never heard of a highway? Mishom Zaman, I'm sorry, the Ramah never heard. They didn't have Drachma Hochma Yeruir. So Mishom Zaman says, obviously the Ramah felt that even drachma hochma yiru yir requires shishim ribo. Right, but this is an important issue. It comes up a lot. The last condition, in order to be, let's start with this.
Do we know for sure that there were intercity roads and it wasn't just kind of like a...
How did they get from one city to the
next? I guess so, because you already have all roads linked to Rome, but like, it could have been just a walk in this general direction to get to that city.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are all our Darab Yishuyos. Now let's start talking about making an Eruv. I'm sorry about the hour. And Simon Shin Samach Dawud. Sif Aleph. Days. Shulchan Aruch says, "Rishus Harabim Atzma Eini Niteres Ela B'Dlosos." In order to be Matir Tiltu in Rishus Harabim, either you have a wall. That's what Moshe thought. Even though Manhattan was Rishus Harabim, if you'd have a wall around the whole thing, it would be okay. Because Rishus Harabim with a wall is no longer Rishus Harabim. Or if you have Dlosos, which is the same as a wall, at the two ends. The case that they're discussing is if you have a city where you have one classic street going through, so if you have a door here and a door here, so then your Rishus HaRabim is closed off. So Machlok is in the Mishnah Berurah. Do you need one Delos? Because we said three Mechitzos is good enough, Midoraisa. Or maybe you need two Delosos, because Delosos are not as good as a regular Mechitza. Yeah.
That's assuming that the
No. No. But you block the traffic with the Delos.
Right, but it's only two, it's not actually four walls, it's only two walls.
Right, so well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have connected it to the walls. It has nothing to do with the walls.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No, that was my mistake.
But it's an empty
No. Without the walls.
And so a door isn't a wall?
That's what we're going to talk about. One second. So the machlok is within the, how does it, how do these losses work? Do they work because they're considered a wall? Do they work because of some sort of super pesach? So if you look over here, the Mishnah Berurah quotes two opinions. Do you need one delas? Is it enough to convert this area out of, you know, to make it no longer which is a rab? If I have one delas, or do I need two delasos in order to stop the traffic on both ends? It's two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah. In the Shulchan Aruch, though, there's two opinions. Whether or not these delasos actually, obviously if they're closed, it's a mechitza. But let's say they're not closed. So the Shulchan Aruch says in the first opinion, Behushin and Olos Belayo, they at least have to be closed at night. If they're not closed every night, then the delasos do nothing. And the other opinion in Shulchan Aruch, Afa Pishen and Olos, even though they're not closed at night, if it's Ru'uyos Linol, so if I would have two delasos, which are Ru'uyos Linol, then that would, that area would no longer be considered Rishus HaRabim. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and Ches, that based on the rules of how we figure out how we paskin from the Shulchan Aruch, it should have come out that we paskin like the first opinion, because the second opinion is the Yesh Omer. So we would require that the delasos be closed at night. Delasos don't help unless they're closed every single night. Uyos Lino doesn't help. But the poskim say that we could be mako bizman hazeh, that even if they're Uyos Lino, they're okay. Why? Based on a sveik sveika. Maybe we paskin Uyos Lino is enough. And maybe we don't have Rishus HaRabim because you require Shishim Ribo. Which is assumed that we don't have. So based on that stuff, Sveik Sveika and Poskim Armeko with Ru'uyos Linol. What is called Ru'uyos Linol? So Avnei Nezer says that it has, Shasta usually quotes this, I don't know if he quoted this year, that it has to be closed once a year. Based on Gemara Nivavos, that the shoe of Chalitza has to be Roy Linol. So Gemara says that someone has to put it on once. It has to be put on once. So Avnei Nezer assumes that the door to the Rishus HaRam has to be closed once. What do you mean, once ever? It says once every year it should be closed. And that's the minhag, if you use the lasos. So it's common. We're going to see, Mirsa Shem, we're going to take a tour of the YU Erev. I don't know when, but we're going to take a tour of the YU Erev, and you'll see that on the either side of Amsterdam, in order to make all the Rebbeim and the Yeshiva happy, when they originally built the Erev on this side, they put the lasos on either side of Amsterdam. So we'll see them. They're the canister type delasos, which if you would open them up, they're like tennis nets that go across Amsterdam Avenue. I've never seen them open, but that's what's inside.
Do they open them once a year?
I think so. I do think so. Yeah. The problem with the tennis nets, though, Rav Shachter was against them for two reasons. Well, primarily because he thought you didn't need them. Because he has his chazanish, that this whole area is considered Rishus HaYachim Midaraisa or Carmelis, and you can build an Erev anyway, so he doesn't think we need them. But even without that, the Avnei Nezer quotes a machlokas between him and Rabbi Yeshua Kuttner, his contemporary, Yeshua's Malko. What if the government doesn't let you close them? You close them once every year, that shows that they're Roy Lino. I could close them whenever I want. You can't close them whenever you want. You might be able to get the guy, you know, the police to block off the street for 2 o'clock in the morning once a year, but if I wanted to close them tomorrow, you couldn't. So is that called Roy Lino? Because I wouldn't be allowed to close it. Yes, I could technically unroll the tennis net. I'd probably be arrested for disturbing the peace or whatever. So is that called Roy Lino? That's my one machlokas poskim. The other issue is quoted here in the Shari Tshuva. Actually, not here. In the Simen before, Simen Shin Samach Gimel, to cut in your base. All the way to the end of Simen Shin Samach Gimel. Shari Tshuva discusses, what if you have a drawbridge? Is a drawbridge considered Deles Haroi Lino? Meaning, you'd have your Rishus HaRabim that goes through, and at the end of the Rishus HaRabim, when it gets to the end of the city, here there'd be a drawbridge going to the next side. Over here also a drawbridge. So at night, or once a year, we'd pick up the drawbridge. And the drawbridge would be, you know, up like that. That should be considered like a delis. Just, you know. Vertical. So the Shari Tshuva says that that's okay. That would be considered Lassos HaRu'uyos Linol. However, the Avnei Nezer, this is the way Rav Shechter also thought, holds that that's not Lassos HaRu'uyos Linol. A Delas HaRu'uyos Linol means that it's a Delas, it's a door. What's when a door that I open, the door is still there. Even when the door is open, the door is there. It could be closed, but even when it's open, the door is there. What about a case where when I open the door disappears? How do you have such a case? The drawbridge. When I put down the drawbridge, there's no more door. It's gone. It's like when you stand up, there's no more lap. So same thing with the drawbridge. There's no more door. So the Amnezer holds that in order to be considered Blasas HaRu'uyos Lino, the Delas has to exist even when it's open. So therefore, Rav Shachter also thought, these tennis nets, when they wind them up into this canister, you'll see it. I mean, it looks like it's a very odd-looking thing. You wouldn't know what it was unless I told you, or Rav Shachter will tell you. So those lassos, there's no delos when it's open, when it's closed. I'm sorry, when it's open, there's no delos. It's a tennis net rolled up very tightly into this very interesting-looking cylinder. So that's not a delos when it's open, so it wouldn't work for lassos HaRu'uyos Lino. Yeah.
Is there a reason that would have to be a delos? Is it just being extremely literal to the halacha?
Yeah, because of this issue, we're going to talk about one second.
Is it because the shame delos, or is it because the shame chetza, which disappears when the drawbridge is down?
Up to you to think about
it. It happens to be a very effective way of closing off the city.
Okay.
It's better than blocking the door because you physically can't get in at all.
Arguments back and forth, 100%. There's another issue which comes up. This comes up. I had this shiloh myself about these blossos again. So let's assume we're makel blossos are ruyos lino. Why the Mishnah Berurah says we should be machlum? Well, we have a sveik sveika. Maybe we don't have a shutar rabbin. Maybe the blossos are ruyos lino is good enough. Okay, so blossos are ruyos lino. But when they're open, do I need at least a turis haPesach? So I think Rav Shechter mentioned that the chazanish quotes from the chasim sofer that you do not need a turis haPesach. The delos itself works better than the turis haPesach. Turis haPesach wouldn't work in a shutar rabbin. And the Delas does. So you don't need a Tzuras HaPesach even when it's open. So then, according to the Chasam Sofer, we understand why there at least has to be a door there. There must be something. If it's totally gone, I have nothing. So then it makes a lot of sense why the door has to be there. Chazanish disagrees, and the Chazanish holds no, that even when it's, in order to be considered Lassos HaRu'uyos Lino, that work to make this area no longer Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, there at least has to be a Tzuras HaPesach there when it's open. You must have some sort of residual mechitza. Otherwise, says the Chasam Sofer, says the Chazanish, there's nothing left. When it's open, there's nothing there. So it must have some sort of residual mechitza. This happened to me. We were using a certain town, the area, they were using a fence. And they went around the school over here. And they had these big gates, which opened up like this, to the buses. So during the summertime it was fine because the school closed and then the Shabbos closed. But during the winter the school was still open for football practice or whatever, and Shabbos was already in. So they, in order to use this fence, they had to rely on the heter. They wanted to know if they could rely on the heter of the lassos, because at least there were gates that would be closed at night. It's even better. Those lassos were ne'ulos v'lano. But when they were open, there was nothing. There was no Tzuras HaPesach, and the school wouldn't let them put a Tzuras HaPesach over here because the buses would knock it down when I went through. Or the kids would tear it down. So the that's the shayla of the Chazanish and the Chasam Sofer. If you have the lassos without a Tzuras HaPesach, does that work? This halacha that you require the lassos, so the Gemara says that's only according to Yehuda. That holds Asu Rabim Umevatli Mechitzta. It's my focus in the Gemara between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. But according to the Rabbanon, who hold Lo Asu Rabim Umevatli Mechitzta, it might not necessarily require the lassos. However, it wouldn't always require the lassos. However, the Gemara says that even for the Rabbanon, if the area doesn't have any mechitzos at all, there's no shame dal mechitzos, which means that you have let's start like this. Why can't we use the Tzuras HaPesach over here on this Rishut HaRam? Why does the Shulchan Aruch say, Ein Rishut HaRam Ma'arva Elo B'Tlosos? Why not a Tirus HaPesach? So Rabbi Yehuda would say, because also Rabbi moved out from the Fitzvah. So that was, we don't, for whatever reason, it's some sort of super Pesach or whatever. You don't say also Rabbi moved out from the Fitzvah if you have a Delas. But if you have, even for Rabbi Yehuda, but if you have a Tirus HaPesach, Rabbi Yehuda would have said also Rabbi moved out from the Fitzvah. And even for the Rabbanon, the Gemara says that if you would have shamed, if you would have a mechitza bria, that's the language of the Rishonim, if Shelter, for example, that's the language of the Rishonim, if you have a mechitza bria, a strong mechitza, so we wouldn't say asu rabim levat mechitza either. I'm sorry. For the Rabbanon, we wouldn't say asu rabim levat mechitza. Yehuda would always say asu rabim, so it's about to, so it wouldn't work. But even the Rabbanon would say, who hold low asu rabim, you need some sort of minimum mechitza. I'm not presenting it, let's start again. According to Yehuda, you can't use a Tirus HaPesach because asu rabim. According to the Rabbanon, why can't I use the Tirus HaPesach? They hold low asu rabim uvat mechitza. The answer is because even the Rabbanon say you need a minimal mechitza. It has to be a mechitza bria, a strong mechitza. A weak mechitza, you would still say asu rabim, even for the Rabbanon. So is the Tirus HaPesach considered mechitza bria or not? For the Rabbanon, would that work in Rishus HaRabim? Because the Rabbanon hold low asu rabim. So that's my focus on Rishonim. The Ritva holds yes, most of the other Rishonim hold that no. Tirus HaPesach is not considered a mechitza bria. So when the Shulchan Aruch says over here that an or ain Rishus HaRabim ma'arve ela b'dlasos, that can mean one of two things. That could mean either that he's passing like Rabbi Yehuda, that asu rabim u'mavat l'mechitza, or it could mean that he's passing like the Rabbanon, that lo asu rabim u'mavat l'mechitza, but a Tirus HaPesach is not a mechitza bria, where even the Rabbanon would say asu rabim. You follow the two possibilities? So Mishkanes Yaakov says that Shulchan Aruch is passing asu rabim u'mavat l'mechitza. So therefore the Mishkanes Yaakov has this, it's a tremendous chumra. The Mishkanes Yaakov says whenever you have a rabim, so it doesn't need shishim ribo, whenever you have a rabim going under a Tirus HaPesach, it's mevatel the Tirus HaPesach. Because the Shulchan Aruch paskins asu rabim u'mavat l'mechitza. Who says you need shishim ribo? Rav Kook was, before he was the Rav in Yerushalayim, was a Rav in Europe. When he first took his first Rabbanus, so he wouldn't, his father-in-law was the Aderes. Eliyahu David Rabinowitz Ta'omim. So the Aderes told him, he gave him advice, that you should build an Erev in your town. It's a mitzvah on the Rav of the town to build an Erev. So Rav Kook said he can't build an Erev. The Mishnah Yaakov already said, if you have a Rabbim that walk underneath the Tirus HaPesach, so the Erev is no good. And he was machmer for this Mishkanes Yaakov. So that's why he didn't build an Erev. However, the Mishnah Berurah claims here in his explanation of how we build Erev in Bizman Hazeh is in Siman Shin Samach Daled of Kohen Ches and the Bir Halacha over there. The Mishnah Berurah says we paskin asu rabim vatam mechitzta only midrabanan, because he says, what is this? The losses are ru'uyot lino. It's a nothing. The losses are ru'uyot, and it could be closed. So he said, that's the shita Rambam. The losses are ru'uyot lino. So he says, must be the Rambam really held lo asu rabim u'mavat l'mechitza. And you could have really used the Tirus HaPesach. Why? So the assumption in the Mishnah Berurah is that a Tirus HaPesach is a mechitza bria. If you would paskin lo asu rabim u'mavat l'mechitza, you could have used the Tirus HaPesach. So why does the Shulchan Aruch say you need the losos? Because he says midrabanan were machmir that asu rabim u'mavat l'mechitza. But since it's only a chumah midrabanan, and many rishonim hold in order to be considered rabim or rishus harabim, you need shishim ribo. So maybe for this halacha also you need shishim ribo. So maybe since the iser here is only midrabanan, midoraisa should have been enough for the Tirus HaPesach. Midrabanan, we can rely on those shitas who hold that you need shishim ribo. So that's the Mishnah Berurah's explanation of how we make Erev in Bizman Hazeh. Everyone understand that? And the third position is that, again, this Shulchan Aruch could go in two different ways. Either we paskin asu rabim, so Mishnah Isaac said we paskin asu rabim. Any rabbim is mevatel mechitza. Mishnah Berurah says we pass in asu rabim midrabanan. So midrabanan, we can be somek on those shitos that you need shishim ribo. Chazon Ish And the Beis Ephraim disagree with the Mishnah Sagam. They say, well, no, we paskin lo asu rabim. Why then do I need the lasos? Because Tirsa Pesach is a mechitza grua. When everyone would say Tirsa Pesach, Rabin would be mavatal of Tirsa Pesach. It's not a mechitza bria. That's why Tirsa Pesach is no good by Rosh Hashanah, because that's why I need the lasos. So then how do we build an Erev? Mishnah Berurah had his pshat, but that doesn't work if we're going to go with the Beis Ephraim and Chazon Ish. So that's why we need Tosas, says in Maseches Erevin, that no one says Asu Rabim unless the mechitza is needed midaraisa. If the mechitza is only needed midarabanan, then you would not say Asu Rabim mavata mechitza. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Aruch HaShulchan all say that's how we build our Erev in Bizman Hazeh. As long as the Erev is not, the area is not a Rishut HaRam Daraisa, and I don't need the Mechitza Midaraisa, only Midarabanan, so no one would say Asu Rav Mubat Mechitza. It's only by Mechitza that's needed Midaraisa. That's the same as the Shelter's Maran Mirutenberg, which he quoted. And the two final points. Over here in Shulchan Aruch, beginning of Samach Gimel, the Bi'ur Halacha has a discussion about how many walls. We'll start the discussion of Mechitza. So we're going to end up finishing next time, but at least we have to get started. The Bi'ur Halacha discusses how many walls do you need in order to be considered Rishus Hayachim Midaraisa. One opinion is three, the other opinion is four. There's a contradiction within the Rambam, so the Bi'ur Halacha quotes, I think from the Rajba, that it depends what it opens up into. If it opens up into Rishus HaRabim, then you need four. Meaning it would be potentially opening up into Rishus HaRabim. So that's why you need a fourth Mechitza Midaraisa. If it opens up into a Karmelis, it would be enough with three Mechitzos Midaraisa. The Bi'ur Halacha here has a discussion, which Rishatan mentioned. I just want to make it clear about the two Mechitzos Kamin Gam. The Bi'ur Halacha says if I have two walls that look like this, and I have a lechi here. So according to those who shown who hold that Rishus Hayachid Midaraisa is with three walls, I have one wall, two walls, and a lechi Midaraisa is a wall. Midarabanan is not a wall. So Midaraisa, he says, when I have two walls and a lechi, two walls coming down with a lechi, that would be considered a Rishus Hayachid Midaraisa. The Chazon Ish disagrees. And he says, this wall, a lechi, cannot be a wall unless there's something at the end of it. We view it as an extension, the beginning of a wall. So he says, here, it goes to nothing. So it doesn't work. So Chazon Ish says, even if you'd have, if this angle would not be 90 degrees, it would be less, like that. So the same way by a box, the Rishonim say it's enough with three walls. Some Rishonim say it's enough with three walls. By a triangle, it should be enough with two walls. So if this angle is less than 90 degrees, then we can connect these two together. If this angle is 90 degrees or more, then this becomes two walls, and even a lechi won't help you because it goes till nothing.
And in that case, you still need a lechi with the triangle, or not anymore?
I don't think so. If you had a lechi midaraisa, so you have four, the equivalent of four walls.
You had a post at the opposite the corner.
If you had a post here, you say,
yeah,
that would work. Would you mention that? Michelle, did you mention that?
Yeah, he did speak about that. That if it's,
we're going to talk about when we get to Asi Avir the High Gisa, because the question is, why don't you say Asi Avir the High Gisa? We'll get to it.
So when does a lechi ever help?
But you're right. It's an excellent solution. What?
When does a lechi help then?
Midarabanan never works. We're only talking about on the level of midaraisa. Midrabban and Alechi only works in a Mabui, and it doesn't work, or Tula Chayayim in a Chatzin. But Midaraisa, the Mishnah Berurah says that Alechi would work, would be considered a Mechitza Midaraisa. Midrabban, they didn't allow one Lechi. So he's discussing what's the Rishus Hayachim Midaraisa. What difference does it make, you'll say?
The reason why the extension doesn't work, or in a sense, nothingness is Dirabban?
No. Chazanish says Midaraisa wouldn't work, because Alechi needs to. We need to be able to visualize a wall from a lechi. The lechi is the beginning of the wall, and we visualize the rest. So Chazon Ish says we can't visualize the lechi going to nothing. it has to have some endpoint. Well, then we can start visualizing
the point of the Chazon Ish without the ever effective Torah.
Ah, oh, you're saying good. Maybe if I would have
this. I think the Mishnah Berurah also discusses this. Right? Is that discussing
this? I think in this Berurah Halacha also he discusses that. I don't remember though, but I think the Mishnah Berurah just adds v'da de'enaf kamino v'dei zu m'shtei mechitzos havi kamin gam, which is the L, or shtei mechitzos havi zu k'neged zu. And the Chazon Ish says no, there is a difference because zu k'neged zu, so then it goes for that. And the last thing that I wanted to discuss is this. Coming back to the Gagan. In Simon Shin Mem Hei Sift HaZayin, which was the case of the Gaga Boy. This case. So we had two opinions before. One opinion is, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, is that it's a Kamalis. The Gra's opinion in the name, and also the Yushalmi, is that it's a Makom Ptur, because ain't Kamalis L'mal Me'asara. In the Bir Halacha, though, he quotes Tosa's opinion, which is the following. Tosa says that it's only considered to be a kamalus over here if this is dalet tefachim wide. The protrusion is dalet tefachim wide. So the Chazon Ish, and this is why Rav Shechter explained it also, assume, or explain, that the what is Tosa, why would Tosa say that? Even if it's less than dalet tefachim, it's not nikar. And we said mechitza sheina nikaros, we don't say good asik mechista. That's there in the Mishnah Berurah over there. From the Gemara. So why should I need it to be dalet tefachim long? So the Chazon Ish says, well, it's not very longish, but the Chazon Ish says, because less than dalet tefachim, I could peek my head over and I could see the wall. It's not nikar. What are you going to say? If it's a drop over, it's also not nikar. So even if it's bad, it's nikar still. How far do you keep saying that? It's until dalet tefachim. When it's dalet tefachim long, then it's no longer nikar. The shear of nikar is dalet tefachim. However, the Marsha and Erevin on that Tosfos says that's not what Tosfos means. What Tosfos means is that this, only when it's dalet tefachim long, this area is a Rishus Hayachid Midaraisa, as long as it's only on one side. This is a Rishus Hayachid, even if it's protruding. And I no longer can say good Asik Mechitzta. This is still a Rishus Hayachid. When does it cease being a Rishus Hayachid? When it's four tefachim wide. Why? Because then this is a kamus, because this has no mechitzos. This has mechitzos. We might not say good asik mechitzta, because it's not nikar. But as long as I have mechitzos underneath, even without good asik mechitzta, we would say that the area on top is a rishus hayachid. But when it's dalet tefachim wide, this area cannot be a rishus hayachid. It has no mechitzos. So then this becomes a kamus, because it's dalet tefachim wide, has a shir makom. And then now the Rishus Hayachid is Pasuach into a Karmelis. This is the Marashah's explanation. So once it's Pasuach into the Karmelis, it becomes Nifrat L'makom Asulah. It opens up into an area where I can't carry. Because I can't carry over here. Even though I can carry over here, I can't carry over here. And so now this also becomes a Karmelis, because it's Nifrat L'makom Asulah. But without the fact that this would be Dal Tfachim wide, this area would be a Rishus Hayachid, even though we would not say good Asik Mechitzta. And this idea is echoed by a few other Rishonim. This is more, it's beyond the scope of the Shir, but Reb Chaim claims that that's the Rambam's opinion, is that you don't need good Asik Mechitzta to be considered Rishus Hayachid, and the Ramban has that opinion. So Reb Moshe claims that for that reason, the George Washington Bridge that comes out in the middle of Manhattan, that Reb Shechter talked about a few times, it comes out into the middle of Manhattan, right? This is stuck to the table. Comes out in the middle of Manhattan, and it crosses over the wall over here. So Reb Moshe claims, so you say, so let the wall rise up out of the Shamayim and cut off the middle of the bridge. So this part of the bridge is really a Rishus Hayachid, because it has all these walls all around, and then even over here it has a wall that cuts over into the middle. You see what I'm saying? Right? Even if this would cut over, so the walls underneath Manhattan would cut over into the middle and knock it off in the middle and make the bridge a Rishus Hayachid. So Moshe says, how, but the mechitzas are in a nikaros. So he says, well, first of all, the Gra's opinion is that ain't karmelis l'mal me'asara. You can't have a karmelis l'mal me'asara. Presumably, you can't have a shusaram l'mal me'asara. So if that's the case, so then this bridge, which is lama, and it doesn't mean that the airspace only goes up 10 tefachim. It means, like it says over here in the Mishnah Berurah, that the whole brishus can exist 10 tefachim off the ground. And then for sure the bridge is, so the bridge is a makom ptur. So I don't need any walls to begin with. But even if you'll say, we won't say in kaimos lama me'asara means that the brishus can't exist 10 tefachim above the ground, but Tosa's opinion is, that even if I can't say good asik mechitza, I don't have mechitza, I have mechitza she'en any karos, as long as there's a mechitza underneath, the area on top is a rishus hayochid. Meaning, what this is really saying is the halacha of avi rishus hayochid has nothing to do with the fact that the walls go al shamayim. Rishus hayochid, the top is a rishus hayochid, regardless. Once I have walls underneath, the area on top is a rishus hayochid. So even if I have mechitza sheni nikaros, the area on top is a rishus hayachid. So therefore, the mechitzas that are underneath the bridge should cut off the bridge in the middle and make the bridge into rishus hayachid. So he says the only opinion we have to worry about is the Shulchan Aruch. So he says, but the two out of three rishonim are meikel. One would hold as a makom ptur, the George Washington Bridge. The other one would hold as a rishus hayachid midaraisa. So Moshe was meikel to put a turis haPesach in the middle of the George Washington Bridge in order to allow. He was discussing all the possibilities with Manan. So he says, the bridges aren't a problem. Just put a Turis HaPesach in the middle of the bridge. So if Shelter has a problem with that, because he doesn't think, the Gro is not talking about the Makom Ptur. Let's put that aside. But if Shelter thinks that's not what Tosas means, Tosas doesn't mean the area on top is a Rishus HaYachid. Tosas means that when it's Dal Tvachim long, then it's no longer Nikar. But here, where the Mechitzas are so far down below, they're not Shayach to the Rishus on top. They're not Nikar on the Rishus on top. So of course we don't say good Asik Mechitzah, and then on top would be a karmelis. Or if Shatra would probably say the area on top would be a rishus harabim, because in karmelis amal me'asar doesn't mean what the Gros says, it means that it only goes up 10 tefachim tall. So the area on the George Washington Bridge would be rishus harabim, and the Turis HaPesach can't work for rishus harabim. But Rav Moshe's opinion comes from this Mishnah Berurah, where there are three opinions. What is the status of the Gog? Is this a karmelis? Or is this a makom ptur? Or maybe it could even sometimes be a rishus hayachid. Just as Nifrax, it opens up into the Gog. Okay, Shkayachem. We have one more Chazar before the Bechina, and I was just told that we have to reschedule our Erevin trip. So if you're not on my email list, whether I sent out two or three emails, if you're not getting the emails, it's a problem. So please come over to talk to me. The emails are very critical to communications for this year.